Hello, and welcome to Life in Their Sandals. This is a podcast where we dive deep into the lives of biblical people to determine how we should live as Christians today. I'm your host, Chris McGrath, and
today I am excited to have the opportunity to talk about a person in Scripture who is just an enigma. This character that we all are familiar with from the Scripture, whether you are a Bible scholar or not, is such an interesting case study. I'm talking today about Jonah, specifically the story and narrative of Jonah, something that really happened in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. And I'm going to read a couple verses to kind of set the scene of what's happening in Jonah 3, verses 3 through 4. The word of the Lord says this: "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Jonah has, in the first two preceding chapters of the book of Jonah, ran from God, tried to go as far as he could to Tarshish, and along the journey, he's trapped in a storm on a boat. He gets thrown overboard by his own wishes. He is swallowed by a great fish and finds a moment of repentance, gets spit out. Now he has made it to Nineveh. Finally made it to Nineveh. He's walked into this massive city, a day's journey, and he starts to preach. He's made it all the way here, and he starts to preach this sermon, and this is what he says. He says, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." I want to talk to everyone today about this thought: the worst sermon of all time. The worst sermon of all time. Now, I don't want you to be confused. I'm not saying I want to bomb in this podcast episode. I am saying that I want to talk to you about what I believe is the worst sermon of all time. Now, we have all, those of us who have ever been to a church service of really any denomination, we have probably all heard great sermons. We have heard people say things that stuck in our spirit, stuck in our life. Maybe we even wrote it down. Something that changed our lives. The word of God being anointed through the method of preaching that God has chosen, you know, is life-changing. And we've all probably heard a great sermon. But if you're like me, maybe sometimes it's the bad ones that you remember even a little bit more than the great ones. I can remember a service at a church that probably no one listening to would ever have heard about or know this church, very far away from where I live here in Indianapolis. But what happened is there was three speakers, which is always a good decision. It was Easter Sunday, special service, three speakers. You had a young preacher. He got up first and he preached about the death of Christ. He talked about how that relates to repentance. And then there was the pastor, and he said, "I'm going to take on the hardest part. I'm going to get up and I'm going to talk about the burial of Christ, baptism." And then there was finally the last part of this three-headed monster of visiting evangelist got up, and he was supposed to hit clean up and tie it all together. But he did something different. He got up and he said, "You know, I know I'm supposed to talk about the resurrection, infilling of the Holy Ghost, but I feel like the Lord wants me to preach something different today." Now, from a member of the congregation, from a production standpoint, that seemed like a really bad time for him to call an audible and to change up the game plan. And unfortunately, on that Easter Sunday, the preacher, he left Jesus in the tomb, because we talked about his death and we talked about his burial, but we never talked about his resurrection, unfortunately. So we've all heard great sermons and we've all heard even bad sermons, but I would want to just remind you today that I don't think any sermon was possibly worse than Jonah's sermon. Jonah truly preached the worst sermon of all time. In fact, in the Hebrew version of events, it's actually only 5 words. In English, we can say it in just a sentence. All he said to Nineveh thousands of years ago in that massive city, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, I know this is not a homiletics class, and that's not why you tune into the Life in Their Sandals podcast, but I do feel like he missed some important things in this sermon. Jonah never makes mention of Nineveh's sin. He never even makes mention of original sin. There's no concept of sin, right? He just says you're going to be destroyed. He also doesn't say anything about what they could do to possibly correct this situation. He doesn't bring up repentance. He doesn't talk about them maybe getting rid of the idolatry and the bad practices they had and choosing to live a holy life. He doesn't say anything like that. And worst of all, the greatest offense, Jonah never even mentions God in his sermon. How could that be? You have a whole sermon, you never mention God. It was a terrible sermon. But the amazing thing about this is that although it was terrible and although Jonah was reluctant, somehow it worked. The rest of the book of Jonah records that the people all hear this and they spread the news and they begin to repent. And they tell the king, and the king hears it, and the king, instead of being obstinate and stubborn, he actually has a soft and tender heart, and he repents, and he fasts. And in fact, the king puts into law that everyone has to fast. He even goes so far, the king of Nineveh, this wicked city, he goes so far to even say that all the animals have to repent. Not only are the human beings going to repent, but the animals are going to repent, and the animals are not going to be able to eat. They have to fast. It was a massively successful outcome from what we could have never seen coming. In fact, think of all the revivals you've ever heard about. Asbury Revival, Azusa Street Revival, any revival in history. Historians still say Nineveh was the greatest revival ever in terms of numbers, in terms of total turnaround. Nineveh should have been Sodom and Gomorrah, but they repented. They actually turned it around immediately. And what I feel like the takeaway from this today for us and the takeaway from this moment with Jonah is that we have to understand it has never been about the messenger, but it has always been about the message. It has never, living for God has never been about the methods that we can use to be so sophisticated to help others see the light more than it could be about the message. Understanding today, Christianity has got it mixed up in the last 2,000 years. I am so weary of church that is so reliant upon personality, weary of church that relies on self-promotion, when what we know we all truly, truly need is that we need spirit promotion. We need the work of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We cannot do it on our own. And God doesn't need us to even try. We just need to involve him in the process. God took a terrible prophet who didn't even want people to be saved. And he took the worst sermon of all time that you could ever preach. And God turned it into the greatest revival of all time. There is a song that used to say, little is much when God is in it. And so I ask the question today to everybody who might hear what I have to say about this little highlight, this little moment in scripture. If God could take a terrible prophet and the worst sermon of all time, and he could make it the most successful revival of all time, what could God possibly do in your life? What could he possibly do in our lives, in the communities around us? If God could take such bad ingredients and make such a masterpiece, what could he do with us? We know that if we rely on ourselves, if we think we can accomplish it, if we trust in our processes, ultimately we are not going to get it done. It will fail. If it's of men, it will fail. But if it's of God, nothing can stop it. So the answer for us today, we cannot point people towards ourselves to say we have the answer. We'd be like Jonah. We have to understand God doesn't need our excellence. He doesn't need our very, very best, although I think we should be excellent and I think we should give him our best. What ultimately needs to happen is that we just lift up the Lord and we say, it's about the gospel. It's about Christ and him crucified. It's the death. It's the burial. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jonah could be so successful with a limited compassion and a limited ability to communicate what God was trying to say, then maybe we could figure it out too. And maybe, just maybe, we could point others to God. Because again, it won't be because we're able to do it. It'll be because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think.
I hope you tune in next week. We will be talking about someone who is very integral to the story of the Bible, and I know that you will enjoy it. Hope to see you next time, but in the meantime, be blessed. Have a great week.